A man fell off a cliff but managed to grab a tree limb on the way down. The following conversation ensued. Is anyone up there? I am here. I am the Lord. Do you believe me? Yes, Lord, I believe. I really believe, but I can't hang on much longer. That's all right. If you really believe, you have nothing to worry about. I will save you. Just let go of the branch. A moment of pause, and then the man hanging on the branch responded and said, is anyone else up there? You know, friends, it's true that our faith in God is a bit like that sometimes. In fact, all of us, we speak big things about how much we believe and how we walk by faith and not by sight. And yet, unfortunately, when push comes to shove, we sometimes waffle. We sometimes waver. We find ourselves like the man hanging on the branch after falling off the cliff. We don't like what God asks of us. In fact, we don't like what we are sometimes called to do. We don't want to do what the Lord has in store for us. We really want a faith that doesn't cost us anything. We sometimes don't want to love the unlovable, to reach out to the poor, the marginalized in our society, to let alone to reach out to the outcast. And yet, friends, all through the Bible, we see a Jesus. And let's remember, this is the same Jesus who we claim as our Lord and Savior. And this Jesus is the one who is breaking the social norms. And he breaks them by talking to those not in the quote-unquote acceptable class. He does so by touching lepers who were called to stand outside the city and yell unclean anytime a person would approach so they would be warned of the possible contamination. Jesus went through Samaria and talked to a Samaritan woman, and the Jews viewed Samaritans as the lowest of the low in the social class. In fact, Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners and was called a wine bibber, scandalous, even offensive for many who lived in his day. Friends, all through the scriptures, we see examples of individuals who were called by God to put their faith into action, and to put it succinctly, belief was not enough. They were called to act. They were called to let go of the branch which gave them security. They were called to move their trust from themselves and the branch they were hanging on and completely trust in the living God. They were called to move. They were called to act. Abraham was called to move when leaving his homeland. Peter was called to act when Jesus commanded him to get out of the boat and walk on the water. Jesus was called to trust when struggling with the impending crucifixion. Moses was called to believe when leading the Israelites across the Red Sea. James and John were called to move when Jesus called them to drop their nets and to follow him. The Israelites were called to trust when crossing the flooded Jordan River. Friends, the list goes on and on. You can read the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews and see the many ways that God's people acted on their faith. And so why say all of this morning? Why take the time to share all these examples? I share all this because often we do not view our faith as an action. We view it as simply and merely, singularly, a belief. A set of beliefs that we adhere to, and we do not view our faith as an action. We view our faith more as a passive thing in our life. We view our faith as something static or stagnant. We view our faith as an element of our life which does not move, and it definitely is not alive. And friends, the scriptures, the men, the women of faith speak about, they all possessed an active, a living, a vibrant faith. It was a faith that was alive. It was moving, and it changed the course of their lives and those they interacted with. Their faith was something which impacted their choices. It changed the way they did things and even caused them to experience the uncomfortable angst of being called to something which you know is impossible. And yet the God of the impossibilities called them, and they answered that call. Remember that. When God of the impossible called, they answered. That is what a real relationship with the living God looks like, a life full of joy and peace and confidence and expectation of what God is going to do in and through your life and mine, a life of active faith, faith that changes, moves, and compels us to answer the call of God, a faith of action, a faith that moves in our lives and through us each and every day. This morning we're beginning a new series called real relationships. And my hope is that as we travel through this series, we will be challenged to get real with ourselves about the various relationships we have. I pray that you and I, we will all be courageous enough to take the step into the unfamiliar territory and the sometimes scary place of removing any facade or any mask that we may be wearing, which is giving us an improper view of the reality of our relationships. This morning we begin with our relationship with God. And what's at the core, the crux of having a real relationship? And I don't mean just a relationship, I mean a real relationship with Jesus. And friends, it's movement. I can't emphasize that enough. It is movement. Jesus, he sees James and Peter and James and John. He sees Matthew all the while calling them. And he says, come and follow me. And they dropped their nets. Matthew left his tax collecting booth and he followed. It was a life of movement. And in our Americanized Christianity, I'm fearful that we have a faith that is passive. It is not latent with moving. I want to explain something because there are many ways a person can move. We can be about all kinds of different things, all kinds of activities, some good, and other activities will even be better. All activities will cause us to commit our time, our energy, and our resources. And yet these are not the types of things which cause the movement in our lives that I'm talking about. The movement I'm talking about is the same type that I challenge every couple in premarital counseling with. In preparation for their upcoming wedding ceremony, I give one last challenge to the bride and groom-to-be. And the challenge goes like this. No matter what happens in your life, no matter what happens in your relationship, commit one to another that you will always move toward your spouse. Now, I'm not talking about physical proximity here. I'm talking about seeking them and learning them. I'm speaking of being a student of the other. I'm speaking of being an active part of their life and allowing them to be a part of your life. And friends, this is radically different from simply moving, from sitting in a chair and getting up and choosing a seat next to your spouse on the sofa. This is the type of movement Jesus calls you and me to. Discipleship is a call for you and for me to be engaged in the activity of the movement of growing our faith. I don't want you and I don't want me to focus upon what we do in our lives, such as hobbies and activities, jobs and such. This movement causes you and me to place Christ as the single most important relationship you have. I'll say that again. If we truly are moving toward the Lord, it will cause us to place our relationship with Christ at the core as the single most important relationship you have. To be sure, sometimes this movement of growing our faith can cause people to change jobs, locations, friends, hobbies, and even change their behaviors, but not always. Jesus doesn't call us to change jobs. He calls you and me to change our priorities, the priorities we have for our own wants and desires to be fulfilled, to be changed, and for you and for me to give Christ the priority in our lives. This, my friends, is the movement which Jesus calls us all to partake. He wants you and he wants me to be constantly moving toward him in all aspects of our lives so that the life which he gives to you and me through the Holy Spirit will begin to be revealed through your actions, yours and my habits and desires. You see, the closer that we move to Jesus, the more we reflect his nature in and through our lives. We want what he wants. We dislike what he offends him. We choose what he would choose. There it is, my friends, the secret to having a real relationship with Christ. Keep moving toward him each day. In a few moments, I'm going to challenge all of us to commit to moving closer to Christ in some practical way this week that we may not be doing now. But where do we start? We have a video clip, and this is the first time we've done this, so kind of bear with us, but we're going to watch a video clip and Lord willing, it will illuminate where we start.
Is it
safe to say that you guys believe in God?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Who is God?
The creator of the world.
Amen. Yeah.
He's the dad. He's our dad, and he is the father of Jesus.
Amen. So God is our father, and he is the father of Jesus. Absolutely. Who is Jesus?
The Messiah.
The Messiah. What does Messiah mean? Do you know?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Mm-mm. It means Savior. So how was Jesus our Savior?
He died on the cross for our sins.
Amen. And what does it mean when we believe that he did that? What does that mean for you and for me?
That he likes us and he forgave us.
Forgave us of our what?
Sins.
Sins. What is a sin?
Something that you do or think wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, absolutely. You say the same thing, Lucas?
Yep.
Okay, all right. That's awesome. That is awesome. That's wonderful. That's excellent. So, Lizzie, I'm going to ask you this question. Have you asked Jesus into your heart?
Yes.
You have, Bryson?
Yes.
Okay. When have you guys done that?
I've prayed a lot.
Okay.
One time after Good News Club.
Okay.
I went to my mom and I told her I want to accept Jesus into my heart.
Awesome. So one time after Good News Club and... You know, Bryson,
I've done it at church.
At church. Okay. Can anybody be anywhere and ask Jesus into their heart?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you don't have to be in church.
Mm-mm.
You could be at home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Be with your mom and your dad.
Mm-hmm.
Your brothers or sisters.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Awesome. How does Jesus help you each day?
I pray for him to help me with my problems, and he helps.
Great. Great. Lizzie?
He helps me to make sure to find out things that I should say or do.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So he leads you. He gives you guidance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he helps you with the struggles that you have each day, the things that you face. Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the struggles in school, Jesus is always there for you to help give you the strength and give you what you need to do, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Wonderful. Is Jesus' love, how was it shown for us?
He's helped me and my family out with a lot of problems.
Great.
He helps us to figure out what not to say.
Amen. Amen. When did Jesus show the most love for all people? Where was he at?
Well, my grandma, a few weeks, or I think sometime last year, she was really sick. We prayed, and she, after a few months, she was better.
Okay, great. But what was Jesus doing? He was on the
cross. He was on the cross.
And he showed his
love when he
love for us, right?
Yep.
Awesome, awesome. Does Jesus want us to keep that love for ourselves, or does he want us to give it away?
Give it away.
Give it away. So how do we do that, Lizzie? How do we give Jesus' love away to others?
We can tell others about him.
Amen. What else can we do, Bryson?
We can pray for other people and spread the gospel.
Amen. Amen. One last question for you guys. You guys are awesome. You guys are doing a great job, tremendous job. Thank you for doing this. But what does it mean to follow Jesus? We'll start with Lizzie.
That means... I just learned this today.
You just learned it today? Awesome. Okay.
It means to follow him, and not like on Twitter, but like...
Okay.
But like to have, like, love him, and you could read about him in the Bible and do that.
Okay. And would it include to listen to what he wants us to do?
Yes.
Great. Great. Bryson, do you have anything to add to
Well, you can go to church and learn more about him.
Awesome. Great. You guys are an inspiration. You know what it means to inspire somebody?
No.
It means to encourage them. And so when I say you're an inspiration of all of our faith, by you sharing your faith, you have encouraged me today. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. You guys have a blessed day, okay?
Yeah.
listen to the words of Jesus. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them, and he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." So where do we start? You know, there's something to be said about the faith of children, the pure, the innocence, the total humility and trust that they have. I can tell you that for years that my niece and nephew, they wouldn't open up the glove box in my car because they thought there was a monster that lived in there. I had nothing that I was trying to hide from them. It was just playing a little game. It was just, you know, but their total pure trust, their humility to submit themselves to those in authority. And friends, if you and I are ever to have a real relationship with God, we too, we must accept the truth like you saw on the video. I want you to hear that we must accept the truth of who God is and the truth of what God is like. I want to caution all of us to not dismiss this and think that this is ridiculous, because there are many who, when young, have accepted the truth and then they've grown older and have thought themselves out of their faith. It's faith like a child to humbly, totally, honestly accept that truth. Jesus said it all when he said, "Unless we change and become like the little children, we will never enter the kingdom of heaven." And the crux of this message from Christ to you and to me was to issue the need for humility in our lives. Think with me of little children and how they are some would say gullible or even naive. It is this type of unwavering trust that Jesus is speaking of. Trusting in God and trusting in what God says is the truth. Children trust those who are in their lives as parents and guardians, and they trust God and take the Lord at His word, and they accept it as true. This is a message we all need to learn from children. We must cultivate trust and humility in each of our lives so our relationship with God will be real. Unfortunately, sadly, I'm fearful that many in America, they follow Jesus as if they are following him on Twitter or Facebook, as was mentioned. And that's a scary thing. For it is scary to me because, you know, just this past week, 21 Coptic Christians were led out onto a beach by ISIS, and they were subsequently beheaded. In the middle of the night, because they identified themselves with a mark on their hand, the ISIS Islamic group busted into their rooms where they were working in Libya, and they began to check the hands, the tattoos, or whatever marked them as being Christian, rounded them all up. And friends, this is why it is scary to me if we only follow Jesus as if we follow someone on Twitter, because when push comes to shove, we will abandon our faith at some point. Friends, we need to be so humble that we realize we don't have all the answers. We must accept the fact that God is God and we are not. We have to possess an attitude in our lives that recognizes our rightful place in relationship with God. Our rightful place is to follow. Kids are humble and they learn from those older. To become humble in the Scriptures means to make oneself low. Friends, if we are ever to enter the kingdom of heaven, as Jesus stated, then you and I, we must make ourselves low before the Lord of heaven, taking up our rightful place of following. We must make ourselves low before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and allow him to lead you and me, and we must follow him. We must make ourselves low as we readily admit that we do not have all the answers. We need to make ourselves low in humble submission, humble adoration, humble praise to our God, the Lord Jesus, and listen to him. So friends, it starts in our heart. It starts when we place our relationship with Christ at the center, at the very core of all that we are. We humble ourselves before the Lord. We trust in God wholeheartedly and completely. We abandon our wants and we place our lives in the hands of those that God leads to us. We place our life in God's hands. You see, God reveals truth to you and me, And friends, if we are ever to have a real relationship with God, we must accept the truth of who God is as he has revealed to us through his word. You see, our faith cannot only consist of movement or only of belief. It must be a combination of the two. And James states it this way: do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Jesus said it this way: then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Both of these statements contain both belief, humble, trusting belief, which results in the movement of following Christ. I want you to hear this. Our faith is not what we believe. Our faith is how we follow Christ. Jesus calls you and me to an active, vibrant life of obedient trust, humble submission, believing adoration, which will always result in you and I moving. As I mentioned, there's many ways to move. You may be here and believe, and my caution to you this morning is to not deceive yourselves and feel you are okay if you are not actively moving closer to Jesus each day. You may be here this morning actively engaged in daily devotions, but have never stepped out and served the Lord Jesus in a ministry. You may be here needing to reconnect with Christ our Lord. You may be here this morning and have never received the free gift of salvation, the forgiveness of your sins. You may be here this morning in a totally different situation, and yet the call is still the same. Believe and move. Believe and follow Jesus. I close with this. The African impala can jump to a height of over 10 feet and cover a distance of greater than 30 feet. Yet these magnificent creatures can be kept in an enclosure in any zoo with only a 3-foot wall. You see, the animals will not jump if they cannot see where their feet will fall. Faith is the ability to trust what we cannot see. And with faith, we are freed from the flimsy enclosures of life that prevent us from moving toward Christ and following him. This morning, you, I might be stuck. You or I may be holding onto a branch which has become your security, and you or I may have begun to trust it more than you trust God. You may believe in Jesus, yet you are stuck because you can't see where your feet will land. Friends, let me gently challenge you this day to move toward God in some way. I want to give you two practical ways that you and I can move toward Christ and grow your faith. Friends, this is the Lenten season, the season that we prepare our hearts for Easter. And what a better way to prepare than to move toward Christ each and every day, allowing fear and the familiar to be replaced by Jesus with trust and obedient, surrendered following. You may be feeling the Lord nudge you and you have not responded. Respond today. If you're struggling with your belief, move toward Christ and get involved in one of the Bible studies we have here at Trinity. Be a part of moving toward Christ by growing your faith as you learn. If you're struggling with letting go of the branch and stepping out in faith, volunteer your time and be a part of a ministry team which helps those in need, such as Western Avenue, Tables Aplenty. There's many other ministry teams here that you can be a part of. Friends, my challenge to you and to me is for you to move, for you to follow, for you to grow your faith. May your relationship with God be real as you move toward him this day and the days to come. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for the call that you gave to each and every one of us, the call to follow you, to abandon ourselves, to radically surrender our lives unto you, to say, here I am, Jesus, make me usable. Here I am, may I follow you, and may we listen to you as you lead and guide and instruct each one of us. Oh, precious Savior, we so desperately want our relationship with you, oh God, to be real. We don't want to simply follow you as we follow those on Twitter or on Facebook. We want to follow you wholeheartedly, completely, unashamedly. Oh Christ, may you lead us as we move toward you. May you grant us the courage, for we won't always see where our feet will land, but may we not be stuck in the enclosures of familiarity. May we move toward you. May you grant us your courage, your strength, and your determination each and every blessed day you gift us with. In the wonderful name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
As we close in song, I think it's difficult in today's fast-paced world to be still and to listen to Him. And not only that, find time. How many times has God led you down a path and you think, I don't have time for that? He wants a relationship with you. Psalm 23, 1 through 6 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness, His name's sake. For even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." How awesome is that? To put your trust, your complete trust in God, as a child puts their trust in a mom and a dad, to know that He is there. The altars are open for prayer. Please allow us the privilege to pray with you, regardless of what your need is, or if it is your time to hear Him, if it is your time to confess your sins, if it is your time to just be close to Him. The altars are always open.
So I think the challenge for all of us is just to move, you know, in whatever way that God is leading us to move toward Him. And He is the key, to move in His direction. And so in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you be blessed with His peace and filled with His love, and may you be adorned with His grace, and may His presence just be your rear guard and that which grants you favor each and every blessed day. May you and I depart in peace. Amen.